Ladies and gentlemen, today on the show, we've got a special guest. And I know that we always have a special guest, but this time, we've got a special guest. My good friend, comedian, producer, dynamo, wunderkind, Kate Strobel. This one, folks, this one is... lessons are learned, okay? I think we can all relate to this period of time that she's going to talk about. And I think we can all relate to the impulses and feelings that she's going through. And maybe you didn't take it as far as she did, but maybe you took it further, okay? Either way, we're here for you. Enjoy this episode. Enjoy Kate Strobel.
So I grew up in Denver, but I went to college in Rhode Island, which is only important because for the purposes of the story, I was on summer break back in Denver, but was like still in college and, you know, had been in school in Rhode Island back for the summer, had this summer internship, but at age 20, I hadn't really had a relationship at all. And I hadn't even like when I went to college, I feel like that was the first time I ever even made out with someone that wasn't just another girl on my softball teams. Cause I played softball all growing up and I played in college too. And you know, like we were talking about, I wanted a boyfriend so badly that I made fake social media profiles and wrote to myself how amazing I am. But that summer I had just finished Accutane because I had horrible cystic acne up to that point in my life. And so I, for the first time, had some like confidence and was like, yo, no longer a pizza face. What's up? And was getting some attention from men, I think probably for the first time in my life. But my sister is 6 years older than me, and she's kind of always dated older guys. And she was dating this guy that was maybe like 6 years older than her. So, you know, this guy's like 12 years older than me. And he had a friend that he introduced me to who was actually 40. So I was 20. This guy is 40, 20 years older than me. But he really, really liked me. And it was the first time, like, I think any male ever asked me out or showed, like, this true attention of, like, romantically pursuing me. And I wasn't even 21 yet. So I had one of my sister's old IDs so that I could get into bars and would go and get fucking wasted with this dude that was 40 and I was 20. His name was Nong Nong. Yeah, so I began this torrid summer romance with a man 20 years older than me. And it was really exciting because I hadn't had a lot of experiences in my life up to that point. But also, I was going to bars for the first time in my life. And so it was just really exciting to be out drinking and going to brunch on the weekends and having bottomless mimosas and all these things that I just didn't even know existed yet. But needless to say, we were just like fucking drunk all of the time. And I think because I was so excited to be going to bars and having like nightlife and excitement for the first time in my life, it wasn't apparent to me that he was just an alcoholic. And
oh yeah, that's something you wouldn't even have a sense of.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just like, yeah, it's fun to take shots when we wake up in the morning and it's fun to drink all day that we're not working. And, you know, I just had a summer internship, so it was really easy for me to, you know, fuck around any given night of the week.
Yep.
But because of that, because it was like my first relationship, my first time drinking heavily, my first time going out to bars, and the fact that he was this like very unstable alcoholic person that I just didn't realize at that point in time, because I was so infatuated and excited to have someone paying attention to me. It would end up just being like a shit show every time we went somewhere together, and it would end in these like explosive, dramatic fights. That would be a scene in the bar, or I remember one time he went through my phone and I had been like texting another guy and he flipped out. But we were in the middle of a park and the park kind of had this stairwell, this really big sort of like amphitheater feeling stairwell that led to the top of a bridge. And he like flipped out and was like, oh, I can't believe you're texting this guy. And was like screaming in the middle of the park and ran up those stairs to the top of the bridge and like screamed down at me at the bottom of the stairs and was like, I fucking loved you. I loved you and you fucking. And like, we're just in a public park with,
oh my God,
tons of other people around. And I'm just at the bottom of the stairs like, no, I love you. Like just the most dramatic, horrifically embarrassing scenes always ended up happening anytime we were together. But one night in particular, we were walking home down Colfax in Denver, which is a very interesting street. There's a lot of dive bars. There's a lot of music venues. There's a lot of drug activity.
I consider it the main street of Denver, and it's probably very much not, but...
No, I think it is. I mean, it's like the longest commercial street, and I think in the entire country. Like,
really?
Long running with like retail to retail.
Yeah.
Colfax goes for fucking forever out east.
Whenever I want something, it's always on that street. Like,
yeah. Yeah. It's the hub of all things. But we were very drunk walking home down Colfax. And this was 2010. So I think Colfax, even at that point in time, was like a little bit more, there were, you know, drug deals kind of happening more openly.
Gotcha.
Still kind of like a red light district. No, it wasn't.
Okay.
Not quite. Mm-hmm. And kind of still like a red light district sort of vibe in certain parts of the street. But we got into another just explosive fight, screaming at each other. He ends up, you know, sprinting off and leaving me. And there was this guy that had witnessed the whole event and was just like, damn, that was fucked up. Like, you want to go hang out with me? And I was like, wasted. I was like, fuck yeah, let's go hang out. And he was like, well, we could smoke if you want to. And I was like, yeah, I would love to smoke. That'd be awesome. And I didn't even really smoke weed at that point in time. But I was just, like, I don't know, drunk and excited.
Just sounds good.
Do something. Yeah.
Anything that's not what you're already doing.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And so he took me just to this like apartment complex parking lot right off of Colfax. And he pulled out his pipe, which, you know, I'd done a few bong rips in my life and then smoked out of the old pipe a time or two. But this pipe, I did not recognize this type of pipe. And I felt kind of bad for the guy. You know, he wasn't like clearly homeless or anything, but he also was not someone who was well put together. And so when he pulled out the pipe, it was like a straight, skinny glass pipe. And I, being as naive as I was at that point in time, was like, oh my God, like this poor guy can't even afford like a nice, official, real pipe. And I was not comfortable smoking out of it. So I told him like, I don't know how this pipe works. I'm not comfortable hitting it.
Yeah.
Why don't you shotgun it into my mouth? Because again, all very rational decision-making occurring. So with this stranger in this parking lot, we're smoking something out of a pipe. He's blowing it into my mouth. As soon as it hits my mouth though, the taste and the feeling that I had, I was immediately like, this is not weed.
Yeah.
And so I was like, what are you smoking here, my man? And he was like, crack cocaine, obviously. And I was like, oh, cool. Didn't know that.
Yeah.
And so landed myself in a craccident situation. I feel like that's like a common trope in
craccident. I've never heard that before.
Like there's a few episodes of shows where someone like accidentally smokes crack and goes insane, but I truly had a craccident. Like just so naive, no idea what was going on. Just even the fact that I was like, yeah, why don't you just like blow it into my mouth, man? This is totally cool. But it felt awesome. And we just sat in this parking lot and we smoked this like entire rock together, talking about life, looking at the stars. You know, he was talking to me about how he's like lost his family and his kids from, you know, were basically from smoking crack. And I was just so young at the time that it was all like, it was very performative. Like it was like, I was like, tell me more about that. Like, are you actually addicted? And he was like, you know, no, like I can go a day or two without it. And, you know, that to me kind of shifted things where I was like, oh, this is this like really, this is this stupid quote-unquote fun experience for me, just this, being a young, dumb person. But this is someone who's like actively telling me about this drug that has ruined their life and is very clearly an addiction. And I feel like the whatever fun high I was having kind of started to shift at that point where I was like, oh, this is like, this is serious. Like, this isn't just, you know, two people shooting the shit in a parking lot having a good time.
Right. This is like a, now it's a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing. But Matt, we still hung out the entire night. We talked the whole night. He at one point like left to go get another rock. And I just sat and in this parking lot and waited for him to come back. We came back. We smoked that rock. I felt amazing.
Yeah.
Very fun. And then the sun came up and I, you know, remembered my quote unquote boyfriend, my 40-year-old dude, man, that had left me hours before on the street alone. And so I was like, shit, I have to get back to his place. He's probably really fucking worried about me. And so, you know, my smoking bud, he walked me back to my apartment. Nothing weird happened. We like hugged each other. He thanked me for like the great night of conversation. I was like, I had so much fun, man. I don't know if I'll ever do that again, but like, cool getting to know you, whatever. And I went up to the Nosh apartment, you know, expecting him to be kind of like frantically searching for me because my phone had been dead. And when I got up to the apartment, he was not even actually home. And so I then, you know, cracked out, start freaking out that maybe he got attacked walking home on Colfax or something happened to him, or, you know, who knows, maybe he just didn't make it home. And so is he with some other girl?
Yeah.
And I'm all cracked out and can't get a hold of him because his phone is dead. So I'm just like frantically vacuuming his apartment and like putting dishes away and just doing anything I possibly can to distract myself. But, you know, wasn't able to get a hold of him. And then eventually I fell asleep for like an hour or two and he came home and I was like, oh my God, where have you been? My night was fucking insane. Like, you left me on the street. I ended up smoking crack with this guy all night. And he was like, oh, wait, what? You smoke crack with a guy? And I was like, yeah, just like a random dude. And he was like, did you like it? And I was like, I mean, it was fun. I don't think I'll ever do it again. It was just sort of like, you know, tried it. Don't feel that excited about it. I feel really gross and I was freaking out about where you are, so like, where the fuck have you been? And he was like, I actually met up with a buddy of mine and we smoked crack all night.
What?
I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, I really like crack. You know, like if you're into to doing it with me, I didn't think you would be, but this is like very cool that maybe a sign that we're supposed to be doing that together since you ended up kind of in that same position, even though we weren't physically together. And I was just like, what the
only
fuck?
An
like,
addict would take that as a sign of anything. It's yeah. God talking right there. Ain't nothing with God.
Yeah, man. This is fate. Like, you ended up smoking crack, and I ended up smoking crack after our fight. So, like, this is a sign. But, you know, again, I was just so into him, and I know that that sounds insane, but I think when you're that young and you've never had any sort of relationship in your life, all of this is, while it is like, I rationally am realizing like, what the fuck am I doing? It's still all very exciting. And the alternative is like, you know, continue to just live with my mom and go to my internship every day and then go back to school. And so that actually began what I call the summer of crack, where
oh, wow.
I was smoking crack with this guy pretty consistently for almost the entire summer, which is crazy because I was on summer break from the Ivy League school that I was attending, where I was the captain of the softball team, but just spending this entire summer like fucked up, drunk, and doing intense drugs. And it ended up just being a lot of really sketchy situations where fortunately, like, nothing terribly bad happened to me, but there'd be like drug dealers coming over to the house and making me really uncomfortable and saying weird things, or just me waiting on a bench outside of a house and, you know, him being like, if I don't come back within a half hour, just like get the fuck out of here. Just really Jesus. Sketchy, scary things. He actually got stabbed at one point in time. I wasn't with him when he got stabbed, but he came home with like a huge blade wound in his back that like almost hit his lung, but didn't. Very cool first boyfriend for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's like, it was like the craziest thing I had done in my life up to that point in time was like, when I was a senior in high school, I ditched a class when I had a final one day. And the outcome of that was that I felt so bad about it that I ended up going to my teacher and being like, I ditched because I didn't study for the final and I feel really bad about it. And I'd love an opportunity to retake the final. And my teacher had me like write this apology letter about the lesson I learned and, you know, how I'd study and all this stuff. But I wrote this really like tongue-in-cheek letter back to her and the lessons that I learned. And she thought it was so hilarious that she showed like every teacher in the school and they all laughed about it. And then it got published in the school newspaper as like an expose on senioritis. So that is like the level of the craziest thing I'd ever done before was like ditch one class.
Yeah.
It was like this honor student who was going to this Ivy League school. And so I think I was just really drawn to this, like, logically, I know I'm making horrible decisions, but I've never done anything like this in my entire life. And it's really exciting to kind of be destructive a little bit.
Yeah.
I'd also been, you know, like, I played basketball and softball my entire life and was like conditioned by my parents, like, you will play in college, you will get a scholarship, or you're not going to college. And so that sort of pressure of like sports performance, I also don't think I ever really went crazy in high school or blew off steam in high school or did anything that, you know, I think I truly was one of those like closeted kids, closeted in multiple ways, but closeted kids that like just didn't experience anything until they went to college.
Right.
And then went to college and lost their freaking minds. But in my case, it was like came home for summer break and lost their minds. But it was pretty much the entire summer. I don't know that I felt like I was ever like addicted to crack at any point in time, but I definitely enjoyed it. And we definitely did it like pretty much every weekend. But that culminated you know, we would still be fighting all the time because it's just like a crazy tumultuous situation in any relationship where that's like drug or alcohol based, where neither of you are ever in your right minds. But I remember one night, or actually it was one morning, I hadn't heard from him and I was going to my internship. And so my internship was actually very close to his apartment in Denver. And so I walked to like the grocery store prior to getting to work. And I knew that he was like, you know, hungover or something because he hadn't been in contact with me. But I also did have a key to his apartment because I stayed there from time to time. And so I went to the grocery store. It had like a Starbucks in it. And I got him like a Frappuccino to make him feel better. And I remember getting like a Redbox DVD rental, which at the time was like the cool thing to do. You'd like go down to King Supers and rent a DVD from the Redbox. And then I went over to his apartment. And I entered from the back of the apartment where his parking spot was. And he didn't have a car. But there was a car in his parking spot that was like really poorly parked on an angle. And I was like, oh fuck, like someone's clearly over. And so I thought about not going up into the apartment, but I did anyway. Cause I was like, no, I got this fucking Redbox DVD for this piece of shit. I got this fucking Frappuccino. And so I went up, opened the apartment door, and Sean was passed out on one of the couches. And there was just another guy that I didn't know or recognize passed out on the other couch, kind of like horizontal to him, with like crack paraphernalia all over the coffee table. And so it was just, you know, clear that they had been up smoking together all night. I remember like throwing the Redbox DVD in his face and like hitting him and him waking up and me like slamming down the Frappuccino and being like, I got you fucking coffee and a movie, motherfucker. Like you just been smoking crack all night. And he was just like, what's going on? Like, calm down. And the guy on the other couch started waking up and just really creeped me out. Like he sat up very quickly and he kind of started like moaning and grunting and almost like banging on the corner of the couch, just kind of going like at me. And yikes. It was really terrifying and really creepy and really scary. So I remember just straight up being like, I'm fucking out of here. And I left and I went to my internship. And was like, I'm done with this relationship. I'm done with this crack shit. It's fucked up. It's gross. I'm not going back. And then a couple hours later into my morning at the internship, I had all of these calls from Sean, all these voicemails that were left on my phone. And so eventually, like, just went outside to listen to the voicemails. And they were all him, like, hysterical, like, hyperventilating, saying like, he's dead, he won't wake up, I don't know what to do, please call me back, I don't know I'm gonna call the police, I don't know what to do. And so I called him back, and at that point in time, the police had already arrived at the apartment. But what had happened is the guy that was there, who was a drug dealer, and I think like fairly well known by the police based on the outcome of the events. But when I came into the apartment and woke him up and he was groaning and kind of banging on the couch, he was actually suffering a massive heart attack.
Oh, fuck.
And Sean basically just fell right back asleep and I just left the apartment. Bounced, yeah. And so what happened there was that he basically just, you know, had the heart attack and slowly stopped breathing on the couch while Sean was still asleep. And then when Sean woke up, he saw, you know, this guy lifeless, tried to resuscitate him, called me frantically, leaving me voicemails, but then ended up calling the police. And so I made up this like insane story at my internship and was like, I have to leave. There's an emergency situation with my friend who has a missing friend and I don't know, somebody might be injured. And I just remember my manager being like, I have no idea what you're talking about. But I also couldn't be like, I think some guy just died on the guy I'm dating's couch. So I'm going to go help him with that. So it was just, it was really weird, but I got out of work. I went back to the apartment and the cops, had pretty much already come and gone, but you know, they kind of knew the guy and Schnauzer was kind of like, he's a friend of mine and he doesn't really have a home right now. So I let him stay with me when need be. And the police like definitely knew what the truth of the situation was, but
right. Nobody
really got in trouble for anything. It was just kind of like, yeah, we know this guy, you know, we've taken him in before, we've taken him to the emergency room before, et cetera. And so I got back to the apartment and, you know, just like remember looking at that couch and just being like, at that point in time was the craziest thing that ever happened in my life. Like I'd never.
I think if that happened at like today in my life, it would be the craziest thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah.
Like that's crazy.
Yeah. Death at that point. And like, you know, now I've had lost many people in my life that have been close to me. But at that point, when I was 20, it was the first time I'd ever like, you know, even heard of anyone like tangentially close to me just dying on a couch in some sort of situation like that, let alone like he was actively having the heart attack when I
last saw him,
left, walked out, just thought he was this creepy ass dude and, you know, went on with my day. And so I just remember like sitting there and processing that and that was the moment in my life where I was like, I'm never, ever, 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 ever smoking crack cocaine again. Like I'm fucking done. I'm out of this. And I mean, I went back to school shortly thereafter anyway, but that was like, I feel like that changed the trajectory of like the types of people that I was even able to have relationships with, because I went back again to like an Ivy League school where everybody had gone to boarding school and like the craziest thing they'd ever done in their lives was like steal some pills from their parents. And I just had this like crazy summer where I smoked crack for the entire summer, like kind of watched a guy die from it, and then had to like, I don't know that I necessarily felt like a big amount of guilt or like it's my fault that.
Right, because I mean, it wasn't. Yeah, you had a very tangential role in his situation. Yeah.
Yeah, I never really like beat myself up about like I wish I had stayed in that apartment. And
that was Kate Strobel, ladies and gentlemen. What did I tell you? Incredible, right? I think we can all relate to parts of that journey. Certainly not all of it, but definitely parts of it, right? Well, we did it. Another episode of Storytime with Brandon. Next time on the show, it's the season finale, folks. You're going to want to tune into that. But speaking of tuning in, maybe you want to find Kate on Instagram and, I don't know, follow her, go to her shows, support her, be a good friend. That's what I would do. She's on Instagram at Kate Strobes, KateStrobes. She produces two shows, one at number 38 in Denver, which is the third Thursday of the month. And she's got a weekly show every Tuesday at Rita's Law. Highly suggest going to either one of these shows, or both, or all of them in perpetuity. She's that much fun. The shows are that much fun. You need to have that much fun. I'm Brandon Patrick. You can find me at Brandon Comedy, BrandonComedy.com, all sorts of places. Have a good one, folks. Next time, it's the end of the season, and maybe the end of the whole thing. We'll find out.